Oh, let's try it again. Yo, you know what I think was the last time you had your headphones on?
Yeah.
But you can hear me now. Oh, snap.
Because when it picked recording, when it picked recording option, I left that default because I figured that was the issue.
Oh, I like rough opens. I'm unscripted and raw. So, yo, listen, people, this is another episode, and I'm dropping things. Another episode of Just a Kid from Brooklyn. We got my
Pew, pew,
boy.
pew, 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 pew.
We got my boy on the show, my boy Lynn Robinson, aka Paragraph Sir, the poet, the
He is a
genius, one of the
Hold on, man,
geniuses
man,
I
man, man.
know.
Stop, stop all that. Stop all that. Stop all that, man.
What?
I don't need a fancy introduction. I need no fancy introduction. You are just a kid from Brooklyn. I am just a kid from Harlem. We will have a conversation. How about that?
That sounds good.
I don't need all the extra stuff, man. It's one of the things, you ever listen to interviews where people know each other and it's just like, yeah, I know each other.
Why y'all giving all these accolades?
I would never be like, oh, he's my boy Justin Rummels. He's a acclaimed comedian with over 300,000 views on YouTube. I'm like, no, like this big headed Justin.
Maybe I have that in my
Anyway, so,
mind. I don't know.
listen, you gotta talk it into existence from YouTube and Facebook videos, talk it into existence, sir.
Yeah, on Xbox.
Anyway, man, how you doing, brother?
I'm okay. How are you?
Thriving and surviving in these here Rona-filled streets.
Yeah, no, today the city is not open, but upstate is partially open and people
Yes,
are
three.
outside.
Yes, three parts of the state from the last information we got from the dear Governor Cuomo, three parts of the states have reached the standards for reopening. Looks like I think the pause for New York City has been extended to the 29th,
Yeah,
and
the
the goal
29th.
is June to this. Before then, hopefully when. We'll be in a good space by then. And don't take all the information.
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit. Are you there? Hello? Can we hear you? I think we lost him, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe he could try without his headphones, because I'm not using any headphones. If you're still connected, which it says you are, try without your headphones. Do 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 do. There he goes.
I
Yeah.
still hear you.
I was doing the Jeopardy song while you well, until you got back on. Hello? Oh, I think we lost him again. Oh,
Yeah, I
there he
can still
goes.
hear
There he
you.
goes. Yeah.
You know what I think
What?
it is, doing this remotely. Like I have my phone to my ear, like it's like I'm at really it's my phone. But sometimes your face can kind of press a button, and we're doing this remotely, and I think my face hit the tab that you're opened in and kind of threw it off. But anyway, we're here.
But
But yeah,
yeah.
when you listen to this podcast, do your own research after what me and Justin said. Don't take it as heart because I don't want nobody saying we gave y'all that information.
Yeah.
I listened to Lynn and Justin. They told me it was good.
Fact check yourself.
You know what I'm saying? Fact check yourself. Be responsible. As the FDNY would say, be a part of your own rescue.
Right. Yeah, because like I wanted to go outside today too, because it's 81 right now. And then I was like, I didn't want to go out alone. So I tried to get Dennis and Isaiah to come, and they both fronting. Mind you, they both live near me.
No.
Dennis was like, oh, that's too far. Dude, you like right here. And then, he's not walking distance from me, but Isaiah is.
But you know what I think it is? Corona has changed all of our constructions of how we view things, right? Like when you haven't left the house in 2 months and like you're kind of still wary to get on public transportation, everything seems a little farther now. Like, and I think that's something that we're gonna have to deal with for like for the recalibration when we get into the world is just that resetting of, oh, what is anything? Because, man, this is not gravely, but it's definitely changed how people view the world and what's their relationship to time and days. Like, how many days did you forget what day it was?
I always forget what day it is.
It's Thursday. Yeah. No, food yeah. Friday. Damn.
Since I finished at LaGuardia, I don't remember the days of the week. And then now with this, I really don't remember. Because, you know, you have a schedule when you're in school, so.
Yeah.
But even with this, like,
Mondays is this session. Yeah, throwing everything off.
Like, this week alone was the most push on Mother's Day to do, like, a small brunch for my aunt and my mom with my cousins. And then I went to Jersey on Tuesday, and then I went to the store on Wednesday. Like, I've never gone outside that many times, especially not a couple days in a row. So,
oh, check you out, man.
Take a stride.
Running through these Ronafield streets, daring Corona to test you. I like your style.
Yo, my cousin wanted to do a birthday party for her daughter, who turned 4. So shout out to my little cousin, her 4-year-old birthday. But I'm like, I'm not going to Brownsville. You crazy? Tagged 100 people.
If it makes you feeling, Justin, if it makes you feel any better, that's my feeling all the time. I'm not going to Brownsville. You crazy? Now, granted, I'm from Harlem, so like all of Brooklyn seems like a foreign planet. Yeah. But I've heard Brownsville and rap songs. No, thank you. Any place where Mike Tyson and Shannon Briggs is from, I guess I don't need to be there.
Yeah, it's like
I didn't lose anything there.
I was like, you want to do this on Zoom, right? No, I'm making food. Well, y'all gonna be eating them and them leftovers too, because I ain't coming.
Have somebody carry over a plate. I ain't come.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, listen, I have not. I have left the house. I mean, I've left the house for obviously stuff like dry cleaning, you know, grocery store, stuff like that. Going to get my dog food. That's about it.
What are you going dry cleaning for? You got an interview or something? What's going on? You going to court?
Not dry cleaning, just a regular. I just drop off my laundry because I'm fancy, and I'm lazy. I'm not fancy. I'm just really lazy, and I don't feel like doing it.
There's an app.
I could just.
You know, there's an app though, right? You can.
Yeah.
Pick it up. They wash.
Yeah, yeah. You could put it off in front of your door. Yeah. They come pick it up.
That's pretty cool.
But I've checked though. That app is more expensive than the nice Mexican lady who runs the laundromat, I should say. So I'd rather give it to Guadalupe.
Guadalupe, shout out to Guadalupe.
these are good old clean jokes, folks. So I see you out here on these Instagram airways. You're defending your title in 2K in 2K20. Let's talk wrestling. Can we talk wrestling for a little bit? So now that we are two months into wrestling without a crowd, do you appreciate or enjoy wrestling shows like this more, or are you longing for the day of crowd interaction?
A little bit of both. I enjoy it because it's at least you know, we're still getting we're starting to get back to live shows, but I like the consistency of everybody. For a while I thought it was just Impact, WWE, and AEW, but then I found out on YouTube that MLW still doing their show, even though it was taped back in March. They're still airing shows. Triple A has been airing shows this whole time, and I had no idea. But when I'm watching those tape shows, like for MLW and stuff, and NWA also, they did it with live crowds, so I miss it at the same time. But I appreciate that there's still some type of shows going on. What about you?
Yeah, I think that. See, that's something I thought about very much, in the sense where so much of the industry and so much of wrestling is based off live. It's based off live crowd and mic work. Like that. The first example was when they had Austin try to do 316 day without a crowd, and he was still doing crowd work with no crowd, because I think for so many people, it's just in the DNA. It's just what you do. Right, it's muscle memory. Like, if you've trained your body to do this for so long, it's kind of hard to cut that off. But I think, you know, it is the cause of innovation. Like, I think if we had crowds, we would have never got the Firefly Funhouse. Mm-hmm.
That match was dope.
Right, if we had crowds, we would have probably never got that. Or how they, like, I know it's gotten mixed reviews, but the last Money mm-hmm. in the Bank match. Right, you would have never gotten these. And I think, you know, necessity is the mother of innovation, causing an industry that for so long, if we're being honest, has been kind of stale mm-hmm. and has not forced itself to change and do different things and have different storylines. No crowd is forcing them to do different stuff, at least in the basic breakdown of match design.
Yeah.
And I think doing that and having this breakdown in different kind of matches is cause for a lot of innovation. And when we'll see
right
how that continues, but I think that's really interesting. Like, my boy had a really good joke. He said was, treat this like non-canon comic books. Like, nothing during this time really counts. Just try new stuff.
Yeah. It's like Elseworld.
And I thought that made a lot of
sense. Yeah.
Right, right. Like, this is the alternate, this is
he went in and out. Shut up. He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
please, ladies and gentlemen, please bear with me.
We're using new technology and trying to make it work the best we can.
Cell phone podcast by Anchor.
Right, but we're making it work though. This concept couldn't be done 4 years ago,
right?
Let alone then, you know, it could be done last year. So, you know, we work well.
That's true.
But I just, man, these are the mothers of innovation. It's causing new stuff, and I like that. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, how did you feel about Money in the Bank?
I thought it was good. I was surprised it was so short. Because, like, I had, first off, I forgot, even though they've been doing the 7 p.m. start time for a while, like, I forgot that it was the actual show when I turned it on and logged in. So I had realized the Jeff Hardy match, but I'll just watch it, you know, tomorrow or whenever it dropped. But I was surprised that it was short, but I wasn't mad that it was short, because I think the way they did this show was good. And especially with the last match, it was really creative. And then, you know, I think the main reason it was short, because the world we're currently living in, and then the last ride came on right after. So maybe that's why it was short.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad idea for it to be shorter than what we're normally used to, those 6 hour shows. Five.
I take prediction. Even when the world comes back, maybe the first show, but I think you might see more shorter shows.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling WrestleMania goes to 2 days. Like, I think they make the commitment to go to 2 days and maybe smaller venues. But because it did have a lot of critical success. Obviously the financials have to make sense, because they make so much money off WrestleMania. But I think if not WrestleMania, just with the regular monthly shows, I think 230s, 230, 245.
Yeah, like back in the days.
It's a tighter shit. Yeah. Because another thing I think the WWE suffered from is because they got so big, they got more talent.
Yep.
Right? So they got more people they got to pay, more people that they got to make sense to pay. So they got to put them on cards and you know, have six man and eight man and eight person tag matches.
Yeah, yeah. Every week.
But if you, right. Because part of it is, hey, we just got to get these people. I got to, like, these people need to, we're paying these folks. They got to.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, the Fox deal is fresh. The new deal they signed with USA is still fresh. So they had no choice but to continue and go back to being live. They had no choice. So there's that.
So, yeah, they got backed into a corner. How you feeling? How do you feel? You know, staying with wrestling for a little bit, but changing to the other big in the US. How doing in his AEW debut in this first big program with Mox?
With whose debut?
With Brody Lee's debut with Moxley.
Oh, Brody Lee? Oh, yeah. Brody Lee, I think I'm glad he chose to come in when he did, because they all had the option. I mean, everyone has the option to stay home in all of the companies, every company. But the fact that he chose, him and Matt, the fact that both of them chose to still come in during all of this is dope, because now we're getting like some really good Wednesday night TV. So I think the pay-per-view next weekend is going to be good. I mean, it'll be a little different because it's not going to be in Vegas like last year's Double or Nothing. But right. I think the storyline is good. And it's a slap in the face to Vince, even though we know Vince doesn't care. But it's dope that Brody Lee is going to be like the main event. Like that shit is hot.
Yeah. Now I'll be the guy. You know, I love AEW like everybody else. Wrestling fans will attack me. I'm not attacking AEW. But what I will bring up just as a thought to throw into the universe is, do we, like, is it smart to keep throwing Vince shots?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Because it's like, you, like, there is a point where it's like you don't want to be WCW, and you're and like I don't think they are right. I think they've done a major at creating what they've done, but it's like some things are okay. TNT, Dynamite, Nitro, you know, I get that.
Yeah,
like those things work. But then it's at a point where it's just like don't in where you kind of fall into the same when you fall and you make the. Because your first two AEW champions are former WWE guys.
Champions.
The champion, the legend himself. Yep. No, Chris Jericho. And the artist formerly known as Ambrose. Yeah.
Are they first champions?
It's like, your first, like, because it's like you could have gave it to hey, like, And I get you don't want to you give the titles to everybody in the Elite, because that's another issue.
Yeah,
like that's, you don't want to be W issue that you don't want to fall into, mm-hmm. where you're like you're the people who run the show or booking themselves in the championships. But it's interesting to see how that works, because I want to see what they do with the TNT title. That tournament's been really fun. I've enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're going to give it to Archer, because I just don't think they. I think they'll continue and not give it to Cody, just because I think no one wants to see the Elite have all the champions. But that it is intriguing, because it's just like you want to be mindful of the path you're treading.
Yeah, but then also maybe the Elite has to be. Maybe they have to put those guys in the top.
At a point,
I mean, the Bucks aren't on TV right now. They're just doing their YouTube show. Being the Elite, but the mm-hmm. other two guys are still there. So I mean, and technically Matt, I guess he's part of the Elite now. But as far as like the originators, so like they might, I don't know, they might have to, because I mean, even like Kenny Omega by default, not by default, but because of the circumstances, he hasn't defended his AAA Mega Championship.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico since last year. I mean, he defended it twice this year, but it was in the U.S. So I don't know. Like,
yeah.
That's interesting too. Like, I think he should be on TV more than he is.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Yeah, I would agree, but also, I mean, with the world being what it is with the Rona, I think everybody's long-term plans that they probably set out for in the beginning of the year have been kind of tossed, you know, thrown upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's weird. It's very weird. And then, you know, they got all the younger dudes that are pretty good. Like, they got Darvin Alley. They got what's my man's name?
Yeah, I mean, you got Darvin Alley, you got Sammy Guevara, yeah. Orange Cassidy, MJF, which probably
I love MJF.
Probably my favorite person in AEW.
Yeah, MJF.
Because I love good heel work, and my favorite thing with good heel work is I hate when a heel, like, when all just because you're a heel, you can't wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, you always have to do this, like, the sneaky underhanded stuff. Like, I like the fact you can be a heel and still just be a good wrestler.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't, like, that shouldn't have to go away. And that's just me, and part of that may be just me being a grumpy old man, but I'm just like, you can be a heel and be a good wrestler. You don't have, everything doesn't have to be a dressing trick. You could just be an asshole.
Yeah. And he's the best right now. He's like the best bad guy, period.
that's something that if we break it down, something to really think about, man. If you start really going through who's doing really good heel work, he's absolutely top five. I don't know if I got him at one yet, but he's up there.
He's so young, too. He's only 24.
Absolutely. In that sense, I think wrestling has gone a really good way of allowing young talent to grow and being stars younger. So I think that's going to happen more and more, where young guys get to be stars early because you get to incubate and grow at a high level at an earlier rate.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's going to be
so much talent on television on all of their shows, NXT too. They got so much talent.
With Corona not standing, I really do think, and I know like people get mad at me, I think this is a better time for wrestling than Attitude Era. Like, I know that may be a hot take, but I really think right now is the best time in the past 30 years.
Oh yeah.
With the availability of all the wrestling you watch at different levels.
Yep.
At different levels, all the different kind of wrestling you can watch, depending on what's your cup of tea. This is the best time for wrestling in the past 30 years.
And it's the only thing on.
Like, and that is an excellent point. Excellent point, Ms. Ramos. Like, it is the only thing producing new content of anything, right? So it's producing weekly new content at a surprisingly high rate. So this is the best time to be. This is the absolute best time to be a fan of the Squared Circle.
Yeah, it's true. Even like
I
saw something a couple hours ago from Tama Tonga from New Japan, Bullet Club guy. Mm-hmm. And he was. Mm-hmm. They're looking to come to the East Coast most likely, and running their shows and on a a closed set out here, because they just put out their New Japan Pro USA trademark, so they can run shows out here.
Okay,
so maybe they'll come to the States. I mean, they were supposed to come to the States this year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. I read that. But yeah, man. So It's a great time when when wrestling is being the major producer. So that's the other big thing of the moment. The other big thing of the moment is the Last Dance.
Last Dance, baby.
Is the 10-part documentary series up talking about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So you and I are both enjoyers and lovers of sneakers and sneaker culture. And if you love sneaker culture, the Last Dance has brought back some gems and what are some of the big highlights, not just sneaker related but just in general, that you've taken from that?
Wait, say that again. What are the what?
I said, what are some that you had, not just sneaker related, non-sneaker related as well, that you've taken from The Last Dance? What are some of the highlights that stand out to you after watching all that, the 8 episodes so far?
I mean, I really like the Dennis Rodman episode. That was really dope. I'm waiting for the flu game. I'm like, yo, where's the flu game?
Mm-hmm. That's coming up. Yeah, they're doing it in pretty. They're going title by title in pretty good chronological order. So that's coming up.
Yeah. And then you know, of course, the Olympics, talking about the Dream Team and all that. That was dope. And then when they showed the series with the Nets, I was at one of those games. I was in like fifth grade back then. And my school got tickets and we were there. I was all the way up in the rafters. I had my binoculars. I did not
still count.
I was like, I'm here to see Jordan.
Right. It still counts. You still got to see Jordan. You still got to see the Nets get demolished.
Yep.
Shout out to poor Kerry Kittles. But yeah, man, so watching all of it, man, it's been really interesting. The Dream Team stuff has been probably the most interesting thing I've really enjoyed, because the Dream Team stuff has really brought to light how, you know, the constant conversation in basketball circles is today's era is soft and all of that stuff. And there's obviously truth to that. But the thing that's interesting is Isaiah Thomas is the second greatest point guard of all time.
Yep.
To play on the Dream Team because no one likes him. If that's not the softest thing I've ever heard, like and it's really interesting because like that's one of the softest things ever. Because
it wasn't just everybody.
It wasn't just Mike. Mike obviously didn't like him, but no one liked Isaiah. So from Magic to Scotty to Larry, no one liked Isaiah. But the Dream Team wasn't about rewarding relationships. It was about rewarding the best players. And and Isaiah Thomas didn't get to be on the Dream Team and has never competed at the Olympics, because in 1980, when he was supposed to be at the Olympics, the U.S. boycotted. So he never got to be on the Olympics because people were mad at him. And I think that's just like – and when you think about an era that's defined for toughness and people being tough and men, they couldn't put past the fact that they didn't like him. So he didn't get so Christian Laettner or John Starks, probably Christian Laettner, got to be on the Dream Team. Like over one of the 50 greatest basketball players of all.
That's crazy, yeah.
And it's one of those things that when you look at it that way, it really is like, yeah, every era has levels of softness. It just varies in how it's shown. But I'm like, yeah, Isaiah not being on the Dream Team because people were mad at him and no one liked him, that's pretty soft. And this is like his coach, like Chuck Daly, the guy who coached Isaiah. The reason why, like, and Chuck Daly's a Hall of Famer because Isaiah got him 2 championships. Yep. And he's not on, and Isaiah doesn't get to be on that team.
No, sir.
So that's pretty fun. And I love to see Jordan be. When I know old black men, like you got to know old, and Michael Jordan is such an old black man, just to get to say whatever he wants, talk shit, drinking something brown. Every shot you see him, he got something brown next
and a
to
cigar
him with the and the cigar. It's hilarious. I love to see Michael Jordan be an old black man, and I think the cool thing, the thing that's really interesting is it allows for a mythical figure that Michael Jordan is. Michael Jordan's like a myth.
Yep.
To be humanized.
Yep.
Right? To see him as a human, to see him. And especially the first few episodes are really good because it shows, especially if you're our age or definitely even younger, that it took him 7 years to win a championship.
Exactly. It was not overnight.
like he lost a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He lost some more, and that helped him, right? And then other things had to happen, and another thing that The Last Dance has helped illuminate for me is so many things that we just think of course that's the case.
Yeah,
could have easily been changed if one thing didn't happen. Mm-hmm. If Scottie Pippen, if the Bulls don't trade for Scottie Pippen on draft night, right?
Right.
If Jerry Krause doesn't convince Phil Collins to hire, convince Doug Collins to hire Phil Jackson, and then Phil Jackson later becomes a coach. Like, so many things have to fall perfectly
in place. Yep.
Or the world as we know it for the past 30 years is totally different.
Yeah. It's true.
And the world's totally different. And that's something that's so interesting because it just, like, we take it for granted and we just assume, of course, that's the case, but it doesn't have to be. A lot of the world can be totally different if just a few things shift.
Mm-hmm. True indeed. Is he still there?
Since we're talking, Jordan, let's get to the thing both of us love. Sneakers. How are we feeling about the most recent drops during these corona times?
Well, the funny thing is all of the shoes that are featured in the documentary, the prices have doubled, tripled, quadrupled.
Yep.
Chicago ones. After that episode aired with him wearing the Chicago ones at the Garden against the Knicks, and those sneakers, like, oh my God, in our size, they're like $1,270, maybe higher than that at this point. That's crazy.
That's like a 12 over here.
But still, like, the pricing is just through the roof for a lot of those shoes. Some of them I have and some I don't, but I was just like, damn, like it makes you want to put away the ones that you have and just wear them later on and be like, yeah, man,
this is worth money.
Because another thing, it's so funny. Another thing I was thinking about with sneakers is just like, in this point in the sneaker culture, so many people pop things flipping. I just think, man, who's wearing shoes anymore? Because you know it, like, how many people buy shoes specifically for the flip? And I understand the hustle, and I get it, and I salute it. But at a point, who's wearing them?
Like, where are you wearing them?
Is it just a cycle of one? Right, where are you? Like, especially now, where are you? Because it's like, it can't just be one person buying them to sell to another person who's trying to try to sell them again. Or just hold them. It's just like at a point, like, where are these shoes going?
Yeah, a lot of people, they're buying up like basically the most shoes I see that are moving. The majority of them are the Yeezy 350 V2s and the Jordan ones. Those are just flying. Every time there's a Jordan one, it's flying. Even mid tops. There's like people just buying all of them.
Yes. I realized that too when, like, I was looking at StockX and I'm seeing Lowe's go. And I'm just like, I got a pair of Royal Jordan 1 Lowe's when they first.
Yep.
Because I got them on sale, right? I got them at a discounted price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I got them. Like, yo, it's a discount. F it. I don't have, like, I have other Jordan 1s. And, you know, traditional highs. I didn't have the Royals in a high. I'm like, I'll just get these and wear long pants over it. I don't care. I'm going to treat it like a 300. I would treat it how dudes used to treat the 300C. You know, motherfuckers would get a 300C because it looked like a Bentley until the actual Bentley roll up. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then I checked Flight. And I, like I said, those came out. They were 130. I checked StockX. They were reselling. I think my 12 was 320. The Action Brush was like 320.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man. That's bananas. Cause I'm just like, but then who's selling? Who's wearing? That's my dog, by the way. If you hear barking in the background.
I figured. I know you got it down.
But but yeah, man, and that's just my thought. Like, that was just a thought as somebody who's grown up loving sneakers and part of sneaker culture. It's just like, who's wearing these? Because if we're gotten to the point now where we're not wearing sneakers, and everything is just for the flip or just for the show, it just feels sad. But with that being said, I do want those Rodmans that Converse had in those that I saw that he wore in the that he has on in the Last Dance.
Yeah, That would be dope. That would be a dope to have in the collection for real.
Like for I want that in a Rodman jersey. Not only that, I a lot of form to it. I want that Bulls jersey.
The black and red what? Say that again.
Black and red Bulls jersey that they had in the 90s.
Okay, okay.
With the pin. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I had that in a champion version back in the days when no one teased you about wearing champion jerseys.
You know what? I think champion jerseys are slowly coming back.
Like, yeah,
I think they are. They're slowly coming back. But yes, I remember there was a point in time where you could wear your champion jerseys, and then once jerseys got really popping and people found out about Michelin S, that stopped.
Swingmans, everybody said, yo, you got a champion? Get out of here. Those are the high school days, right. The junior high / high school days.
Right. It was like champion jerseys had a 3-year run where it was acceptable.
Yep.
Had about a 2 to 3 year run of acceptability. And then it got real cold in them streets.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are home, and then you know, people that are working, they're eventually stuck at home. So people are still buying. They're still buying a lot. Like when the 420 dunks came out.
Yeah.
They only released 420. And those things sold out instantly. Only one place in Minnesota, Familiar Skate Shop, got them. And now those things are like 10 grand. Yeah. $10,000? It's crazy.
Have you been looking, or do you have an idea of what the Ben and Jerry's are going to do? Because Nike just released the release information, and they're dropping skate shots the 23rd. And they're on the app the 26th. And they're only retailing for $100.
Right.
So I don't have an exact number. I haven't done the research yet, but I know those are going to be banana sandwich. People are going to go crazy for those.
So the Resellology, their page, they predict that they'll be reselling for anywhere from $750 to $1,000 and up. We'll see. It depends. I guess it depends on how many are made, how many release. It's
supposed to be limited.
Yeah. And, you know, how many release to the skate shops. They could just do one skate shop like they've been doing, and that's what keeps the price like really high. But I guess we'll have to see. I think I'm gonna try and go for them. I ain't even gonna lie. I don't know. I guess we gotta see, because the hype is there. They've been building the hype for them since March. So when we first saw them, or February, whenever that was.
Yeah, so the hype is definitely there for those. I think they canceled the release of the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, my friend. Because my friend posted that in the Astronauts by the BBC. Astronaut suits by the BBC. Anyway. they're canceling those, which sucks, but whatever. My mom knew about those. She was like, did you see the 7-Eleven dunks, Jay? I was like, how the hell do you know about that? I saw it on Twitter.
That's infiltration right there. That's the kind of market infiltration you want. You want everybody to know.
Like, what?
My mama said, hey, you seen them 7-Elevens? Get me a sip.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so those are very interesting. They just released a sample of the 350, the Yeezy 352.
Yeah.
I think they're like a tie-dyed colorway.
Yeah. And the whole thing, you can see through it. It's all see-through. Supposedly.
So you're a of Mr. West and his crew. Where would you rank the shoe of the sneakers he's designed? Is it a top five shoe of the joints he's made?
I think so.
Just the model, just the silhouette, not
a specific colorway, but just the model itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's up there. I mean, I like I still like a good friend of mine. We still love the Nikes he did. Like, I still think those are his best.
That was gonna be my follow up question, because the 350s are without question the most widely produced, and the most accessible. But are they his best shoe? Right? Because it's just like, I know a lot of people are still all that the one. Would you go with the Yeezy 1 or the Yeezy 2?
I like both. I don't know. I kind of like the shape of the Nike Yeezy ones better. Mm-hmm. Something about it. I don't know. Cause like the twos are dope. The colorways they came out with, the design is cool. But something weird about it, I guess it's the heel. The heel kind of looks weird to me. But the first ones are like his best. I think those are his best overall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was having a conversation, and I think I tend to agree. I think for me, if I had to think about it, my favorite things he's done, I think, would be the Yeezy One, the first, the Air Yeezy One, the Yeezy Seven, the Yeezy 750, the high top boot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought that the not the boot, but the you know the high top sneaker with the zipper on the side. Yeah. I thought that was one of the most phenomenal things I've ever seen. And like, I really wish he did more colorways. I got a pair of the brown ones, and like, they're the
brown.
Like, I think that shoe does. I think what he did with that shoe, especially that being the shoe he came out for Adidas after the big blow up at Nike, and he released that during All Star Weekend. I remember the city. I remember New York. I remember the big Adidas store, and so the mint that was what the production was, and how that just took over. I think that shoe. Over time, because he didn't do as many, is being forgotten.
Yeah,
a little bit. I think that's arguably his second best shoe. And then if I had to follow up, I'd probably go 350 Wave Runner, and then maybe the. And I really like the Calabasas. They're really simple, but I dig them though.
I like them. I want to get a pair. Those are like the easiest pairs to get. The Calabasas.
Of course.
It's so affordable. It's easy to purchase. It's not hard. Them slides, though, those are selling out. Everybody buying those up.
The Crocs?
No, not the Crocs. He has a just a Yeezy slide.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. Yes, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah, the Crocs, I don't think they released yet, but those will sell out. I heard they're comfortable. I like them in red, but I'm not wearing them outdoors.
Crocs are comfortable.
I won't wear them outdoors. I'll wear them inside.
House shoes, baby. House shoes. But listen, absolutely get it.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, he's not an athlete, but would you say, because, and this is a conversation that we'll have to come back to on a later podcast, I think, when we really have time to think about it, because a question I've been thinking about is, who has the best signature lines? Obviously, I think Mike is in his Jordan is in his own category. It's a kind of a separate deity and entity at this point.
Right.
But other than Mike, even including someone like Kanye, who's a non-athlete, like who has some of the best signature lines? Like Kanye's line's been amazing. LeBron's line's been amazing.
Penny Hardaway.
Penny had a lot of great signature shoes.
Yeah.
It's a basketball shoe. It's not as much of a fashion shoe, but I think it's underappreciated. If you ever get a chance, look at some of the joints Dame Lillard has.
Yeah.
A lot of the Dames are pretty good. Those have been pretty solid. So that's something I think, who has the best sneaker lines, the best signature shoe, who's been able to really produce high quality stuff. And another name I'm going to throw out there is probably Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving is creeping up there with a
fire. Yeah,
like if you had to years about signature Nike basketball shoes, Kyrie Frog jumped over KD.
Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot of the KDs became duds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think from about four to eight, KD had a really good run.
Yeah,
and then like started putting some duds out.
Yeah.
Started putting some dubs out, and I think Kyrie has maybe leapfrogged him in the conversation about who has behind LeBron when it comes to Nike basketball, who has the best signature shoe. I think Kyrie's leapfrogged KD into second place.
Yeah. And Westbrook, if he picks another silhouette, I think he could get back up. He could get up there. Because his style is they're creative, the themes that he's come out with, but that shoe is hideous. Ugh.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's been the issue with Jordan Brand for a while, man. Like, Jordan Brand, they're fighting ghosts. They're fighting ghosts how to figure out to create shoes, non non-retro shoes that people really want to wear outside.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fighting the ghost of, let's say, 16, you know, like, four. I mean, people count up to 14, really, but I'll give up to it a 16, too. Like people are they're fighting ghost, and it's kind of hard to, in there, and it's been a really difficult task to figure out the perfect combination of shoes that are still have the athletic appeal that they have to have, because at the end of the day, they are performance basketball shoes.
Yeah.
But that are good looking. They've been fighting ghosts for a really long time.
Yep, that you could wear with everything.
Like I'm a little biased, you know, I grew up playing basketball, like I learned organized basketball. And so I still like a lot of the Jordan brand stuff, even a couple of stuff to wear with some sweatpants, but none of them have really been great street shoes. And they've been fighting that ghost for a while to figure out how do you, because at a point you can't just keep putting out retros.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
But I think the one advantage that Jordan brand may get is our love for nostalgia.
Yeah.
And with the love book, and I bring that up because when they started retro and re-releasing like the 20s and like the 21s, and I'm just like, these weren't popping when they came out. But a lot of people were having moments of, oh, I remember these. Yeah. And kind of getting some sales off of that.
Yeah.
So we'll see later on if more stuff can be retro than people. Like they even retroed a pair of the Mellows a while ago and they had a good run. And I'm just like, we'll see if nostalgia, if just I remember having these in high school can help.
I want another
pick up. right. That's, you know, that's such a big part of sneaker culture. Such a big part of sneaker culture is not getting.
Yep.
Like so much drives what we do. Culture is what you couldn't have when you were a kid, or what you did have as a kid and you wanted it.
Yep.
But I would say more so what you didn't have.
Yeah. Like when they re-released the Shaq Gnosis, I was like, I want those. I didn't get them yet. Cause I know they're still available. Like I could always grab them, but I was like, "Oh, those are coming back out."
But you had, even if you didn't pull the trigger on them, you still had that initial moment of, "Oh my god, these are like," and they're Shaq Gnosis. They're not the, well, I mean, they're good shoes to be clear, but they're not like holy. They're not grail. It just taps in that part of you that goes, "Wow, I remember."
1990s.
All right, look, listen, it taps into that nostalgia drug that all of us suffer from, especially if you were born from like 1984 and up to about 95. Like we've become addicted to nostalgia.
Yeah, we're nostalgia junkies.
Absolutely. To a really weird way, because I'm just like, everything in the 90s wasn't good. Like we gotta start telling the truth.
It's true.
We gotta start telling the truth. Everything that came out in the 90s is not inherently good. There was a lot. And like we've convinced ourselves that whether it's music, sneakers, like we've convinced ourselves, but it's OG though. It's classic. It was whack, but it was whack then.
It's true. And
some things get better with time, some things are still average.
That's true.
We gotta stop lying and tell the truth.
Yeah. Yep. Cause look at the films you watch nowadays as an adult and you love them as a kid. You're like, oh man, this movie's so awesome. And then you watch it now, you look at the special effects, you might go, ooh, ah, but then you like, ah.
Yeah, man. Listen. In quarantine, we've all watched and rewatched a bunch of things.
Yeah.
If we're honest with ourselves. A lot of things we've watched that we've rewatched go, oh, wow, this did not age well. Like some things age like wine, some things age like milk.
Yeah. That's true.
So speaking of the 90s, both of us are comedy lovers and enjoyers of comedy. I watched Jerry Seinfeld's most recent special, 23 Hours to Kill.
Yep, me too.
Jerry slightly left the 90s, but not all the way, but...
You say he slightly what?
He kind of got out the 90s. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he's still a part of that era. You could tell that he's still in that decade. But you know, I liked it though. I thought it was good.
And to be clear, I say that, but I did enjoy it. Like, I did enjoy it. I like to see him a little. He was more animated than he normally is, and I thought that was pretty good.
He's cursing. He curses a little bit more.
Let a few, like, I know, like, I read a couple of articles. Some people wanted him to get more not who he is, but he did open up a little bit more and just become more physical, and he was a little bit more loose, and he was cursing.
Yeah.
And he reached that level of old man. Give up. Like he already has don't give a fuck money, and now he's reached don't give a fuck age.
Right. He's a rich old Jewish guy. He didn't even look 65. That's the crazy thing.
Looks great.
He looks great for his age. But I like that he got, like, cause he's done act outs before, but not like this. Like this was
he has rarely done as many act outs and like fully using his whole body and being like, because usually Jerry's very much just rely on what I've written. The jokes will get me through the writing. My writing will get me through it. But really, really animated with his body and his voice. So I thought that was pretty good. Despite my critique about it, just still feeling a little stuck in the 90s. It was super nice.
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Did we lose you again? During these quarantine times, what are some of the best things you've watched?
Black Mirror was really good. I enjoyed it. I haven't watched the movie yet, but I watched Black Mirror's the series. I watched it in like 3 or 4 days.
I don't think I'm high enough to watch Black Mirror because every time I try to watch it, I'd be like, eh. And I kind of phased out. Think I'm gonna give it another shot because, like most of us, I got time.
It's pretty good. The show with Al Pacino, Hunters.
Yes, I did really finish good. Hunters. Hunters was good.
I finished The Boys. That was good.
Yeah, I finished The Boys when it came out. Yeah, that was my
Some of these new films that came out too, like Extraction.
Oh yeah, with the bigger Hemsworth. Yep.
With Thor.
Yeah. Big Hemsworth.
Yeah. My man Chris. What else? All Day and a Night. That was pretty good. You know, typical hood movie, but just with better cameras and a Netflix budget.
Oh, when you get a chance, you can Google it. There's something called Urban Flicks.
Which?
It's called Urban Flicks. It's a Netflix. It's not a subsidiary. It's not connected to Netflix, but it's just like an app strictly just for all the kind of black movies like you won't see in theaters.
Okay.
Like Ray J has a movie on it. A bunch of actors and actresses from television shows and movies in the 90s and the early 2000s that you saw, and you may go, oh, that's such and such.
Yeah,
you can't really remember their name. And then you're like, hold on, let me Google this. What was he in? Hold on, what was he in? But it's a whole app called Urban Flicks that I just stumbled across recently. That's pretty interesting.
What have you been watching, though? Anything good?
I've done a bunch of different things. Like, it's going to sound weird, but I randomly binge watched Craig of the Creek, which is a Cartoon Network series about the little black boy who goes to a creek. And it's the funniest thing in the world to me. I laughed like I was 12. It was immensely. So I did that. I did Craig of the Creek. I watched Distraction, watched Hunters. Those have all been really good. Like, I know I'm late. I know I'm late, y'all. I'm late. I finally finished The Mandalorian.
Oh!
No. What I've been doing during quarantine is just, like, I've been catching up on all the things I should have been watching when the world was spinning. But, like, I've been catching, when we were out in the streets, like, I've just been catching up on a lot of that. Like, stuff that I still didn't finish, so finally finished The Mandalorian. Yeah, listen, don't judge me, Justin. Don't do me like that.
Mandalorian, like, that's my shit.
Like, love you that gave show. me the you gave me the wow like I owed you child support. You was like, wow, really?
Wow, really?
Wow. Figures.
Wow. Did you watch Rise of the Skywalker when it dropped?
Yes, I did.
Oh, so I'm all caught up.
Movie canon. I might start watching the Clone Wars because I did watch some of it when it was out. The cartoon just haven't got to.
Yeah, I got to get into that. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched them. I've seen them when they first started because I used to watch them with my little cousins. They love that show. They're like huge Star Wars fans. The whole family. Their dad, them. So yeah, I got to check that out.
May the fourth be with you. Listen, that's the advantage. I got nothing but love and time for everything. So here we are. I'm here.
Number free times.
But yeah, so those are the things that I've been in indulging and taking it. But yeah, man. So this quarantine, work through and figure out your new hobbies and habits, or sleep more. Either way, whatever gets you through today.
Yeah, it's true, man. I listen to my podcast. I record podcasts, play some video games. I even got a word search book. So that's where it's come to.
Damn, Grandpa.
I'm trying to find this word.
Damn, might Grandpa get a Joe.
Book next. You said Grandpa Joe. Crazy, man. But you got to keep busy. Some people I know, they're going crazy. Not me. I'm saying.
Not me. I've created enough hobbies and habits to stay busy. Also, my push-up game has gotten immaculate. So, we're working through it.
Yeah. I was doing that the first month. I was at it. And then April, I sort of chilled. April, I was just like, all right, I'm done.
I think that happened for a lot of people. A lot of people like, man, I'm on it, man. I'm gonna be on it. And then they realized they had to stay on it because they wasn't going outside anytime soon. It was like, you know what? That's stupid.
Summer body on pause. Where are we going? Nowhere.
the summer's on pause. Oh, summer don't start till October. Like, that's the new rule. Summer. Because you miss. Because think about it, man. Summer's not gonna start till June. It doesn't start till the end of June, and it's just like, man, and we miss half of spring, so we gotta catch up on spring. So the summer's starting late. Summer's not gonna start till October.
Yeah,
catch up.
Crazy, man. Crazy. All of these holidays coming and going. Like Memorial Day is in 2 weeks. It's like what?
And it means nothing. Like. But you know what? Memorial Day is going to be an ultimate test of New York City. And just because, we had a lot of rough few weeks where where the weather was kind of helping with the quarantine order.
Yeah.
Like random rain and snowstorms. Weather was helping with the quarantine order, was helping you stay your ass in the house. But yeah. As the weather gets nicer. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's I don't see people staying inside. I just can't do it. I just can't see it.
Folks gonna be they're gonna be running outside.
Not me though.
I need my ass cheeks out. I gotta show my cleavage.
Right, listen, there's gonna be a lot of horny young men like, yo, nah man, sundress weather. I'm not gonna let Corona stop that. Like, gonna be a bunch of dudes out there. Like, man, listen, and let's be honest. We know a lot of gentlemen out there who have sex with women they barely know. You think Corona's gonna stop there?
No.
Like, dudes have unprotected sex with women they meet in clubs. Think a little Corona's gonna stop?
Keep the mask on, baby. Keep the mask on.
Yeah, just keep doing. We good though.
Yeah, it's crazy. A friend of mine, went to a bachelor party last night. They had strippers and he was the only one with a mask on. I was like, yo, this, and he took a picture. I was just like, yo, what, where in New York did this happen?
Where the commissioner couldn't get to them.
Oh my God. They got that picture online. So maybe they shut it down. What's up?
But yeah, man. It's just one of those things I just think about. Like, I have random thoughts like that. Like, I mean, I wonder how strippers are holding up. Like, because like that's a that's a profession that's kind of dictated on intimacy and contact. And I know some people have the only fans route, but it's just like, it's just some industries are so much dictated human interaction.
Yeah.
That limiting it is just so challenging, and stripping being one of those industries that people some folks have the highest moral regard for. It's
right.
A lot of folks won't feel the same level of sympathy. Like, there's a level of sympathy that some people will feel for other professions. You know, if I say, oh, what you do, Len? I'll be shaking my ass in the club. They're not going to have that same level. They're not going to have the same level of support for me. If I say, yeah, I put this on and I shake it in ladies' faces. I don't get that. You won't get that same level of joy. It's support. It's messed up. But these are some, and like, I'm through my weird mind of like, yo, I don't want Howard Schiffer holding up.
Yo, that's hilarious. Oh, man. I was telling my homeboy about that too the other day. We was talking about it. Like, it's so funny with, like, how come none of these porn stars are dying from coronavirus? But if you really look at it, their OnlyFans account, they got the same partner, or they by themselves. So right, that's why they're not dying.
That's the see. And I think that it's helped illuminate a lot of things. Because, you know, people have judged, people make these moral judgments about adult film actors and porn stars and stuff like that. I'm like, but if you look, a lot of them just be having sex with the same person.
Especially at this point.
Right. Because it's just like, it's easy. Like, you can, like, it's easy if you work in it to get some. Everybody just can't get wrong. So, like, you just can't do it.
That's true.
Very and listen, true. I tell you this: if the stay order gets extended, when y'all see my OnlyFans page, mind your business and subscribe. I'm not quite there yet, but if it gets extended a little further, mind your business and subscribe. Hold your way down as we try to get through these troubling and trying times.
I would have to cover up tattoos and wear a luchador mask and cover my eyes. That's you? No, that ain't me. Why is it attached to your social media? Oh, it's for a friend. I'm supporting them.
I'm supporting a friend. Yeah, I should subscribe and leave some tips. But, you know, that's just for a friend. Yeah, that's just
we've known each other for a long time. We like brothers.
You know, we like brothers, and I figured I'd help them, get the word out, you know, no presses.
They're running a 2-for-1 special right now.
So, you know, you had to get it out. I had to get it out, you know. So, but anyway.
But yeah, man. We definitely got to do this again. We definitely going to have a part 2, a part 3.
Listen, man.
Part 4 of this.
We got nothing but time. We got nothing but time.
I think we have the
technology figured out perfectly now, so we can make it flow easier and we're not. But I think, man, you know, listen. You and I can talk a bunch of different things and have a good time with it. So, thank you, and I appreciate you for bringing me on to the podcast.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just a big headed boy. He's a kid from Brooklyn. I'm a kid from. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you for having me, Jess.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Lynn. This has been another episode of Just a Kid from Brooklyn with my boy Lynn Robinson on here. We're going to have him on again.
And I'm just this a kid from Harlem.
He's just a kid from Harlem that lives in Brooklyn. This show's going to go up immediately. So shout out to Anchor. Shout out to all of the podcasts and outlets. And yeah, man, it's been real. Give the people your social media handle.
Cool. On social media, paragraphs. So on Instagram, paragraph underscore sir. That's me on Instagram. Hit me up, follow me. I follow back. My page is open. I'm a normal person.
Same here with me. I'm a normal person. I'm not weird. I ain't got nothing to hide. So you can follow me at Justin the Comic on everything. And yeah, man, enjoy your weekend, folks. Stay safe. Wash your ass and wash your motherfucking hands. And we out.
Peace.